Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read from Genesis 37, verse 1 to Genesis 37, verse 21. Sigmund Freud would have a heyday with Joseph's dreams. And Zol, these sheaves of your brothers are limp and shriveled compared to your powerful and erect one, Mr. Joseph? Interesting.
Hello and welcome back to The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. Connie, that recap, by the way, that was really funny.
Thank you.
I like the way you put it all together. It came out really nicely.
Yeah, sort of like Frankenstein. We got better off dead.
Yeah, well, Frankenstein was a lot more interesting of a book than this. So, why the hell are we doing this?
I guess we just like inflicting pain on ourselves.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of that going around lately. It seems.
I didn't know that about myself, but I do now.
See, this is what you learn here listening to this podcast. You learn so much about the host and how much the host learn about themselves.
I'm in therapy soon, I'm sure. So
yeah.
I'll let you know how that goes.
I'm pretty sure I'm probably in therapy now, too. I mean, well, if I haven't started by now, this book is starting to send me there. It's like, doctor, I've been reading the Bible. Oh, it's such a good thing. No, it's not. Have you ever actually read this thing? Oh. So we've left off at 37:21. So we're going to pick it up at 37:22 today. And Reuben the sandwich. No. Reuben sandwich. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Okay, Reuben, you seem like a pretty good guy in the last time, but now you're almost the same kind of asshole these other ones. Let's not just kill him to put him right out of his misery, but we'll just throw him into a pit and leave him here to die where the animals can get to him. You know, that's pretty evil. In your
own. He could still get away. It's just, right?
Yeah, well, it depends on the depth of the pit. I mean, if it's pretty deep, he could be in there for a while. I mean,
it's true.
And if he tries to dig, and it depends, you know, maybe the pit has rocks in it or maybe just straight down dirt. I mean, he could end up trying to escape and just end up collapsing the sidewalls on top of him.
That's true. There could be snakes in there.
Yeah.
Nice and cool.
Yeah, snakes. Yeah. Why did it have to be snakes?
Snakes, yeah. Awesome. Better story than this story. Okay. 37:23. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him.
Oh, he's like, hey, dudes, how you doing? What the hell are you doing, guys? Hey, that's my coat. My coat of many colors.
Rainbow.
Rainbow. Reading rainbow. Oh, no.
Still better than this.
Still better than this. Which reminds me of an old TV show, Gather Round. Even though Gather Round was sometimes pretty horrible. I mean, the stories were pretty horrible. They still were way better than this. And that was a children's show. Look it up, folks. Look it up. If you're not familiar with the show, look it up. Let's see here. Where do we leave off? Okay, 37:24. Yeah. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. Well, that's fucking what makes a goddamn pit. There was no water in it. Okay. Well, good. At least he's not going to drown, or of course he could just die of a dehydration.
This is true. Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, they threw him in.
They threw him in the pit. They cast him to a pit. In the pit. They had to tell us that the pit was empty.
It's a pit of despair.
I don't understand why they had to say why. The pit was empty. I'm sorry, Connie. I walked all over you. What did you say?
Oh, no. No. It was the pit of despair. Oh. Still a better book.
Oh, still a better book, yes. Way better book.
Princess Bride. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Well, anyway. The Bible is nothing if not redundant.
Really? You had to tell me this to let me know this, right?
Well, isn't it amazing the details that it goes into, which have absolutely fuck all to do actual proof of stuff? No.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like what they didn't have to tell us that the pit was empty and it had no water in it. You could have just said they threw him into a pit. Okay. Or they could have said they threw him into an empty pit. Okay, you can leave the empty part in there. Just put it in sooner. It's like, we threw him into a pit, and the pit was empty. And there was no water in the pit. It's
but
like
now that Joseph's in there, it's not empty any longer.
That's true. That pit's not empty anymore. What were they expecting to find in there? You know, another person, somebody else's brother they threw in there? Because it's like, yeah, we got rid of our brother. You could just, it's like a bad cartoon. It's like, yeah, we didn't like our brother. It's like, it seems like a line right out of The Simpsons.
Yeah. Still a better show.
Way better show.
37:25. Ah, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt.
Again, on animals that did not exist at this time period.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do after I had just tried to maroon or, you know, kill and basically kill, starve out my brother. I'd sit down and have a picnic.
Yeah. It was pretty close to the pit. It's like they could remember, hey, you gonna fight? Joke's over, guys. You gonna let me out? Hey, shut up, Joseph. We're having a picnic up here. Hey, can you throw down a crumb? Hey.
Hey, by the way, last night I had a dream.
By the way, I had a dream last night. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
You wanna hear a dream?
I was fucking your brother. I was fucking your wives. Ha, 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 ha.
Your wives, your wives all bowed down to me.
Your wives all bowed down to me. Give me a blowjob.
Tell us another story, Joseph.
Yeah, it's like. They're like the brothers, like holding each other one down. It's like he's trying to goat you, man. Don't let him. He's trying to get you to go down and grab him out of the pit, so you'll pull him back up. You're like, you know, every other movie out there is like, you know, they always the good guy always goats the bad guy to pulling him back out of danger just at the last minute, so he can beat the shit out of him, and then he overpowers him and runs away.
Exactly.
So anyway, but that's, I don't think that's going to happen here.
No.
37:26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is there? Is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Okay. Now they're worried about profit. I was going to say, this almost sounds like, I'm going to go into a little bit of a fantasy here. Well, this is fucking fantasy anyway. Fuck it. I was going to say, what profit is it? That sounds Ferengi.
You know what, you look at their dad and how he conducted business and how he, you know, and his their grandfather and one before that, and how they cheated people out of stuff. I would say that trying to figure out what kind of profit they could make from this would probably be the first question that would come to somebody's mind. The more mercenary,
yeah.
Brothers.
And you know, the thing is also, they're gonna say we're slaying the brother because, you know, it's like, okay, well, maybe we could make a dime off of selling him. You know, this is the conversation that, you know, the sub conversation. If we slay him, we can't sell him. Maybe we can sell him. So they're trying to put him back, the slavery aspect, back onto these other deities that these other ones are worshiping, saying, see, those deities are bad because they're okay with selling people. So is your God, too. So is that's okay? I mean,
well, you know, I know that this story, growing up in church, you would hear this story, and usually our teachers made a point of pointing out how awful it was that Joseph was sold into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But we've covered slavery over and over and over again already.
Yep.
And it's been perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's just bad as when it happens to you.
Yeah. It's only bad when it's somebody else's God or somebody mm-hmm. else's belief, but it's okay if it's ours.
Right.
Oh, this just puts a pin in how evil Christianity really is. I mean, at least this part of it anyway.
Well, yeah, it's again, 37:27. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. So, oh God.
So they're okay with selling him.
Sell him to these other people, and then we didn't kill him. It wasn't us.
Yeah. So when the dad goes, hey, what'd you do with Joseph? Well, we didn't kill him. Well, that makes it better. You know, because that's the first words out of their mouths. Like, we didn't kill him. Oh, okay. That's odd. Why would you say that?
Yeah. They don't even have to say that they encountered him. They could just say, well, he never showed up.
Yeah.
You know, and...
I don't think they're that bright. I don't think they're that bright. They're going to say he didn't show up. I don't think they're just going to say, well, I don't know. Just like, maybe dad mm-hmm. won't ask about his favorite son.
Yeah, or he wandered off.
He wandered off. Maybe we missed him on the way back.
Yep. I just said it.
And he just kept right on going. He walked off a cliff somewhere, maybe. I don't know.
Plausible deniability is what he's proposing here, I think. So.
Yeah. 37:28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph unto Egypt.
But I thought they just said that it was Ishmaelites. Now they say Midianites.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah, because there's a notation here asking who took them to Egypt. Because 37:36, Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt. And then 37:28, which I think we just read.
And sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites.
Right. Yeah. In 28 there, it says that...
and they brought Joseph into Egypt.
And then later on, it'll say, and Joseph was brought into Egypt. And on 39, when we get to 39, there's more on that one too. So who also points to the Ishmaelites. So he sold him twice. So maybe Joseph was a twin. It was actually one sold to... I'm coming with possible things for these Christians to, you know, to apologize for their apologies to get into gears. Like, well, Joseph was actually a twin. They sold him twice. Or
maybe
the brothers.
It's sort of like your bank loan, you know, or your credit account, how it gets bought out by another bank. I don't know.
Or maybe they just sold it to two different people. It's like, yeah, these other guys, we'll sell it to him. It's like, yeah, we got too much shit on our camels that don't exist. So we'll come back here in about a day or so. So have them ready. We'll clean and get them cleaned up. And this other group came and was like, yeah, we got plenty of room on our camels, which don't exist, and we'll sell it to you now. So they sold them twice.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what they're gonna say. You know, they sold them twice. That's probably what they're gonna say as the excuse.
37:29. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes.
He rented his clothes?
Tore.
Well, I thought he bought his clothes.
So Reuben wasn't with them? Reuben was the one who said throw him into the pit.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. So did Reuben just walk away after they threw him in the pit and he comes back and sees that Joseph's gone? That they didn't specify that he walked away. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I'm confused about why that's even in there.
And apparently the renting thing is it goes on 29 different times in the Bible, actually. I'm not going to read them all because, like I said, there's 29 different times. It's spelled R-E-N-T, rent. Like, I guess no one owns their clothes anymore. Just they mean in the context of ripping. They should say ripping, not rent, because that's not the context of what the word means in any fashion.
Well, it's just an old phrase, but at the same time.
Yeah, it's just absurd. 37:30. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? The child is not, and whither shall I go? Okay, he said basically that the child, that his brother's not in the pit. Okay, where should I go? Where should I start looking for him?
That or what's going to happen to me?
Or what's I'm the one that discovered he wasn't not in the pit. So what are you guys going to do to me? You guys going to put me in the pit now because I lost him?
That or he's afraid that Jacob will be mad at him.
Right.
I don't know.
That's good. You know, it's like the James Bond movie. It's like the bad guys like get together and they make a evil plan, and then as soon as the one of the bad guys say, "Hey, I didn't agree to this." Okay, boom, blows them away.
The worst James Bond movie, still better than this book.
Yeah.
I want one of these Brother the Brothers to wear one of that bowler hat that is like a frisbee and it cuts people's heads off. That would be cool.
Still would be a way better movie than this.
37:31. And they took Joseph's coat and they killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood.
Oh yeah, aww. Because that's what you always do. You're just like, yeah, there's blood on this coat, so obviously we found it on the way back. We don't know what happened to him. He just disappeared. Instead of going out looking for their brother because he's a known tattletale, they think, okay, we'll make up a story that he was killed along the way. Like human blood and goat blood will be look exactly the same. Apparently forensics since didn't exist apparently in this time. Yeah. So that's obviously the right answer. Let's just fake a death.
Well, I guess if you're a goat and sheep herder, you're going to smell like goats and sheep anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I suppose.
And sheep shit and goat shit.
So they're using lies and subterfuge.
Yeah.
But they're still perfectly fine. So evidently all of these brothers are perfectly fine with the idea that they're going to tell their dad, yeah, no, he's dead.
You know, the thing is here, though, he said he returned unto his brethren. Okay, yeah. All right, wait a second. Okay. So they went to go get him to sell him, but he was already gone. So how could they have sold him if he was already gone?
No. Reuben.
Did Reuben let him go?
Reuben returned unto his brethren and said, the child is gone.
Yeah, he said he was.
So Reuben was. Reuben wasn't with them when they sold him, I guess, even though it doesn't specify that. Reuben said, well, look, instead of killing him, let's go ahead and just put him in this pit.
Right.
Evidently, Reuben wandered off after that, leaving his murderous brothers with the brother with Mr. Dreamcatcher in the pit.
Right. Okay. So Reuben wasn't in on the plan to sell the brother. So he's like, I went to the pit and he's gone. What happened to him? Oh well, plausible deniability. We won't tell him. So this way he'll just say, hey, we're gonna cover this. His coat and goat's blood. We'll just say he got killed along the way. We don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, so, Reuben is in on the lie, though.
He's an accessory to murder.
Yeah.
Or he's an accessory after the fact because he was like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. I mean, I was part of the plan to put him in the pit, but I don't know what happened to him after that. But his brothers knew, so they're going to go up with this elaborate lie that his brother was killed. So he's just going to go. Sounds like he's just going to roll with it. He's already an accessory to wanting to put his brother in a pit. So let's just throw all the dice in there and just go for broke now.
Yeah, exactly. In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yep, in for a penny, in for a pound. Perfect way to put it in there. Where did we leave off? Oh, 32.
Mm-hmm.
37, 32. And they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. We have found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Oh, God damn, this wording is so poor. Fuck. They sent the coat. Like the coat's going to start walking off on its own or something.
They sent it and brought it.
Yeah.
So which is it?
Yeah, which is it? Did you send the coat ahead of you, or did you bring it with you?
And then they even pretend that they're like, we don't know. Is this Joseph's coat?
They've never seen it before. He's been parading around in it everywhere he goes. We don't know who. Is this his coat? I really can't tell. Can you? Can you smell bullshit? Yes, I can. Apparently, they can't.
37:33, and he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph, without doubt, rent in pieces.
He rented.
Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Thank you. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay, so
he's been renting in pieces now. Okay.
So yeah, Jacob / Israel just looks at the coat and he can deduce that not only is his son Joseph dead, but he's been torn to pieces.
It must be, yeah, because the goat, there's blood on it, so obviously that's what happened. Yeah, okay, I'm easily convinced. You're free to go. Worst judge ever.
Forget about CSI, man.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Just call up Israel.
This is the whole... Well, just I only believe it if I don't see it. I only believe it then.
Oh gosh!
I don't have to see it to believe it. I mean, I saw blood, so obviously that's the obvious conclusion.
Yeah,
it just shows the lack of imagination. It's like, well, did you? Don't bother invest. I think we should investigate this. No. You don't want to do that, Dad. You don't want to investigate anything. Oh, you're right, son. I don't want to investigate anything.
Don't ask too many questions. Yeah. That's nothing good could come from that.
Exactly. Asking questions is bad. Remember, everybody. Remember, this is in God's book. If you ask questions, that's where problems start. Since he's not asking questions, he's being a good Israelite or whatever the fuck he is right now.
Yes. Yes.
Where did hell we leave off? Oh, 34.
Yes.
37:34. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Oh, that's going to make things much better. And mourned for his son many days. He put sackcloth upon his loins. Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, he's not vented yet. Just say it. Apparently, this gets mentioned in the Bible 33 times. Great. Or sackcloth does, anyway.
Yeah, sackcloth.
Yeah. So, sackcloth is just like some kind of cloth, I guess. It's just like a little bag or something. I don't know. Why would you put it on his loins? Why would he put it on his loins?
So he's not sitting there butt-ass naked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I can't walk around naked, so I got my junk going to hang out. So I'm going to put the sackcloth upon my loins.
Well, so make sure somebody doesn't come up behind you and make a vow really fast.
Right.
Touch your thigh.
They're talking about, when they say his loins, they're talking about his dick and his groin.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty much. This is,
that's a really strange funeral kind of tradition.
all funeral traditions are all weird. It's just a matter of where you're, from your point of view. Really, I mean, some people would look at the funeral stuff that we do, and as Americans, it's like, that's pretty weird. You know, why are you spending so much time over this body? You know, it's like, ugh.
That's why I avoid funerals. I don't do funerals.
Yeah, well, I plan on doing one.
This is true.
I could have tried to avoid it if I can, but it's gonna find me one way or the other someday.
What the beauty of it is, I'll be there, but I won't be attending.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
37:35, and all his sons and all his daughters? I thought he only had one.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I thought he only had one daughter.
Dinah, who's now, unable to get married because she was... Anyway, yeah. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into my grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So he's inconsolable.
Yeah,
about
he's like, this. Yeah. The daughters came up to him with a beer and said, "Here, have a beer, Dad." You know, I was like, "Yo, get away from me! Leave the beer, but get away from me! I don't want to talk to you. I just want."
Yeah,
he refused comfort to be comforted. That kind of makes him. I can understand, you know, in a matter of fashion, you've lost your kid. I mean, I haven't lost any of mine, fortunately.
Yeah.
But I can understand. It's like, hey, I just got some bad news that my kid might be dead, but I didn't bother to investigate. So I'm just going to assume that he's already dead. So I'm just going to mourn for now. And he said he's going to mourn until he dies, basically. It's like, you know, that's a pretty piss poor way of living, to be honest, because, like, you it depends on, of course, how old you are, I suppose, I guess. You could, if he's like, I don't know, 900 years old. I don't even know how fucking old this guy is yet. he's apparently going to live like till 25, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
What I don't understand is he knows that the brothers really don't like this son, and he should at least have a basic understanding that he's been playing favorites. One and one should at least add up to two at this point. Why is he just accepting that, you know, number one, that his favorite son is not coming home, and his favorite son, there's like blood all over. Are all of the other 10 brothers that great of liars? That I don't understand why
they ran for political office in their last, yeah. The last time they came to talk to Dad. It's like, Dad, we're going to run for office.
At least one warning bell should have gone off in Jacob's head.
Yeah, you would think. You would think, but I don't. This just goes to show that these people are not that smart.
Yeah, they don't question. They're not questioning at all.
There's no questioning. It's like just that our kids who don't, we obviously know though, don't like him because we've treated him way better than the other brothers. But you know, than his brothers then. But, you know, the fact that they came back with blood on his coat, it's like, okay, well, we'll just accept it as it is. And it's like, oh, yeah, you must have been an animal. Doesn't even dawn on him that his brothers could have killed him.
Yeah.
Not even for a second.
Well, and I don't really want to go totally backwards, but to talk about the story about the sister Dinah and how a neighboring town boy fell in love with her, and it was mutual.
Yeah.
It wasn't a rape. And he comes and he explains, he says, "I want to marry your daughter." You know, and the brothers just go off. All you had to do was ask a question, ask the daughter, ask, you know, and they don't, they're not curious about finding out anything. They just went off on their own preconceived ideas and don't question anything. So, sorry, just it's consistent theme here.
Yeah, that on that point it is absolutely consistent. Last line in this chapter, 37:36, and the Midianites sold him unto Egypt, unto Potiphar, the guy's been smoking doobie.
Potiphar.
Yeah. Maybe he makes pots, I guess. I don't know. Unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and captain of the guard. Of course, you never hear the name of what the Pharaoh's name is. That should be a red flag right there. That the story is completely bullshit. Because like, officer of Pharaoh mm-hmm. who? We don't know, because we're just gonna pull the name Pharaoh out of our ass and just say there was a pharaoh there, because Egypt is known for having pharaohs. Which one? I don't know. It's not said anywhere, so we're just going to just pick a pharaoh and just say it was that one.
Well, it's not like the Egyptians didn't. They formed one of the very first alphabets, the writing systems of cuneiform, and they kept records of their pharaohs. I mean, it could have easily been researched. But no, let's just be vague.
Yeah, the Bible is extremely good at being vague about shit, and that's not hyperbole either. They do this intentionally, because if you put in details, details can be researched, and details can be looked up, which is the same thing as research. And then you could find out if this thing is true. But if you just make it as completely vague, then it makes it a lot harder to discover what's actually going on. So especially, but if you're just doing this in a, as a story, which I think this totally is, just a story that's not a depiction of anything that actually happened, then you could just make up any name you want to and just like, okay, it's a fun story. Because we got Goldilocks and the three bears. What the bears' names? No one knows because the bears were never gave real names. There's Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Baby Bear. It's no difference than the Potnar's Pharaoh. He gives it to Pharaoh, the Papa Bear in this.
Yeah, well, we've named actual rivers or maybe mountains or some places, but it doesn't matter because there's a few specifics in the Bible doesn't mean that everything else is spot on. And
exactly.
when the Bible could be forthcoming and actually, you know, like a truly historical document would be, it fails.
It fails.
It just doesn't.
Yeah, it does fail because they keep, Christians I come across say, it's a historical document. There's no history here. There's no good history here. It's all very poor. It's all very, very poor.
George Washington and the cherry tree.
Exactly.
George Washington was real. The cherry tree, his father had orchards. The story about him chopping it down is a tale.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I don't think they had cherry trees over there, as a matter of fact.
Really? That might not even be the correct kind of tree. I did not know that.
Yeah,
so,
I could be wrong on that. I'll have to research that maybe for our next podcast. So but anyway, unfortunately, we are way out of time. Sorry to have dragged this out. But we'll be back next week with a fresh moldy oldie when we get back. So if you would like to get in contact with us, you can reach us on something that's not so old and moldy, or at least at the time we're recording this anyway, on Twitter at twitter.com/ABANW podcast. And if you want to send over some moldy old dollar bills our way, you can donate them over to us at Patreon at patreon.com/ABANDNW. And you can also send us some moldy messages over on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ABANDNW. And try not to let the mold grow on our blog post, which is over at abandnw.wordpress.com. And over on iTunes, which you can, and you can also find the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes. There we go. I got it written down. I don't want to read it. So, and you can send us also email and question, comments, or hate mail, whatever, over to tatbanw. That's tatbanw@gmail.com. And if you're going to rate this, please leave 5 shiny stars. Don't leave any moldy stars because it kind of makes the site slow down. Leave five stars on iTunes and Stitcher and Spreaker, and leave a review for us there as well. So until next time, this has been The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.